I won't give you much tonight. I'm going to talk about missions. I'm going to talk about the Philippines. Your pastor preaches enough. I'm not going to teach you anything new, okay? So I'm not going to try, but I'm going to talk about the Philippines. The Hollies are all here. I knew a guy named Joseph Holly. I don't know if you ever knew him. Joseph Holly, he was going to go to Cuba, and I don't know if he ever went or if he went, and they did something with him. I don't know. Okay, I don't know if they put him in prison. I don't know. But good to have you tonight. And I will just tell you this. You'll never regret what you're doing. You'll never regret what you're doing for the Lord. I'll give a testimony a little bit. I grew up on a dairy farm. We milk cows, okay? I told this morning, I never missed a day of school from 7th grade to the 12th. I'd rather go to school any day than work, okay? Honestly, okay? No, I don't know if it was all that or not, but I grew up on the dairy farm. My father was killed when I was 14 years old. And I'll tell you a story. My life's the grace of God. Grace of God. And my mother remarried. And then after about a year, she remarried. And she moved out. And my brother that was 20, I was 15. And my brother that was 14, we ran that dairy farm. And we didn't live with an aunt, uncle, grandparent, anything. You say, how'd you stay out of trouble? Well, we didn't, okay? But how did I stay out of a lot of trouble is we ran that dairy farm. We had to milk before you went to school. And after school, you had to go back home also. And if we played sports, you'd go back home to about 3:30. And you'd work to about 6:30 and go play a basketball game or something at 7:30, okay? But that didn't help it. But you know what? That's the grace of God. So if God can use me, he can use anyone. And then I got saved when I was 19 years old. And I got saved when I was 19 years old. 2 months later, I went off to Bible college. I went to the same place as... I can't even think of her name. Benefield. Mrs. Benefield, okay? Same school. But what year did you go there? 95. I went there in 77, okay? We're about the same age, though, okay? But 2 months after I got saved, I went to Bible college. But it doesn't matter who you are, what your background, God can still use you. He can use you. So I'm here to encourage you. You say, I can't do this and that. I can't do a lot of things. But I have a philosophy. I'm not going to worry about what I can't do. I'm going to worry about what I can do. And I can give the gospel to people and keep giving. By the way, I don't give the gospel to people so I can come back to America and show you something. We're not showing you half what God's doing in our city. By the way, I'm not in the Philippines to come back to impress anybody. Because God doesn't share his glory with anyone. And we can say we're doing it for God's glory, but we better fight and make sure we are doing that. Amen? Amen. God doesn't. I tell people, we don't need to take one drop of the ocean of God's glory for ourselves. Not even one drop. And a lot of people do. That's their business. I'm not going to worry about what they do. All I can do is worry about what I do. And so, but God has blessed us there. Let me have my son David stand up. He went to the Philippines when he was 4 years old. You think he's American. He's not American. He's Filipino, okay? He plays basketball for West Coast, and he learned to play basketball in the Philippines, just the flip-flops, okay? And sometimes just dirt floor. So when he went to college, he didn't know how to play on a wood floor, okay? But he's Filipino. He speaks fluent Cebuano. He can argue with you in Cebuano, okay? I don't know Cebuano good. Sometimes his two sisters, they'll talk in Cebuano so dad don't know what they're saying, okay? But I appreciate him. His plans, he's a first-year senior, And he his plan is to come back to the Philippines one day. So pray for him, okay? Amen. We're going to leave after the service because he has class in the morning. I said, son, if I drive back all the way tonight, you better make sure you're in class tomorrow, okay? But it's an honor. I like the Philippines, a number of reasons, is because of the size, okay? I am tall in the Philippines, okay? the Filipinos are very short, and I feel at home with them, okay? And then I like it, too. I don't have to wear a suit. I don't have to wear a tie, if you see my picture there. That's what I preach in, okay? Some of the Filipinos have a tie. Not me. No way, okay? It's too hot. They have two seasons in the Philippines, hot and hot, okay? They say hot and rainy, but it's hot all the time. But I like the hot weather, okay? I like it. I really do. And but I'm glad the Lord let us know. Let me tell you something. We told everybody on deputation, we're going to General Santos. We're going to General Santos City. That's where God laid on our heart. Well, we went there, me and my wife. We left our kids with another missionary. We went there to try to find a place to live. There was nobody else there, no other independent Baptist missionaries. So we went there. We rode a bus from Davao. I mean, you're taking your life in your hands when you ride those buses, okay? Many times I said, I'm never riding one of these buses again. I'm tempting the Lord, okay? I mean, they're crazy drivers. And so we took a bus, and we pulled in General Santos. Oh, we told everybody on deputation, this is where we're going. This is God's will for our life. We got off the bus, and in my mind I think, this cannot be God's will. Maybe I was just bragging and say, this was where God led me. My wife cried for a couple days. She didn't want to be in General Santos City. But after about 3 or 4 days, God put our heart in General Santos City. Even when I come back to America, I say, Lord, don't give me any opportunities here. Don't give me any opportunities here. Because God's put our heart in that city. And as we're going to be there, we're going to do all we can to reach people for the Lord. So you pray for us, okay? And I want to thank this church. Listen, you have a ministry in General Santos City. What you've seen there, you have a part in that. Not just me. You have a part. And you saw our building. Did you know that building we have? The Filipinos built that. That's our missions building. I told our people, I teach our people to give the missions. The Filipinos have money. They're just putting it in the wrong places. And so we built that building. We built that building. Filipino money. Not my money. I don't have any money. It's their money. But it's a result of our missions giving. We're sending missionaries. Why should Americans give, but the Filipinos give? Amen? And so we built our church on Filipinos. When I leave, it'll go on. It may do better when I'm not there. I just talked to my wife earlier. I said, how did we do this morning? She said, in Sunday school, we had 700 and some. And I said, how about the church service? She said, 836. I said, honey, I was hoping it would go down some. It doesn't make me look good. Amen? But I'm telling this. We built a building 2.5 years ago. We're out of room right now. We have 18 different Sunday school classes, and we can start 5 or 6 more right now. We have no room. But that's okay. I have had this philosophy. If I'll get the people, God will give me the place. That's my philosophy. I'd rather have the people. And so we run out of room and pray for us. We don't need this and that. We don't need that. Just pray. We're going to buy land. We have the money. But our plans is just we don't want to spend too much for it, okay? And we're waiting on the Lord. And what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to build my people right now. I'm going to build my people right now. And when they get strong, we'll be ready to do something else more, okay? And our goal also, I said, we're not trying to build a big church. We have no contest. We have no campaigns, and I'm not against that. But we have no room to put people. We have no room. And that's a good problem, amen? Amen. And we'll figure out something. If you have your Bible, look at your Bibles, the John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I want to give you a couple things here tonight. It's an honor to be here. I'm afraid a little bit when I come back to America, okay? I'm intimidated by Americans, okay? I'd rather be around the Filipinos. And that's nothing against you, okay? But I'm excited to see what God is doing here in this church also. But if you have your Bibles, look in your Bibles just a moment. Look in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 4. And we won't take much of time. Look at verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Amen? You and I have something the world doesn't know. And they'll think we're crazy. But if they knew everything about you, they would think you was really crazy. If they knew that you went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you went visiting, you gave the tithe, you gave the missions, they wouldn't think you were crazy. They would know that you're crazy. We have meat to eat that they don't understand. And they're not going to understand. But you understand it. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Look at verse 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. And I want to speak on here just a short time. Look. We need to look. Look. Not where we want to look, but look on the fields. We need to look. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd bless. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. And I pray that God would be honored here. And I pray that God would get all the glory, all of it, Lord. And Lord, if we get any glory, we reflect it all back to you. Lord, we're just sinners. What a privilege we have to serve you and follow you and live our lives for you. And I pray tonight, God, that you just work in our hearts tonight. Give us a greater burden for lost people all around us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know this? You know the story? Jesus comes to the well. He went to the well for a reason. He said, I must needs go to Samaria. And there was a woman at that well, and he began to talk to her about the living water. She went to get water from the ground, but he was talking about water that came from above, where you'll never thirst again. And he began to talk to her, and she got saved. Remember this, if baptism is a part of salvation, well, that lady got saved, but she didn't get baptized. Zacchaeus got saved, but Jesus didn't baptize him. I believe in baptism, and most of the people that are not Baptists, they add baptism to salvation, yes or no? Well, that the thief on the cross, I don't think he went to heaven because he wasn't baptized. Amen? He must not have been saved. No. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Guess what? Today you're going to be with him in paradise. People say you can't know you're going to heaven. The thief knew. And if God let the thief know where he's going before he dies, he'll let you and I know. There's a lot of false things in there. You know why there's so many false teachings? If you think it's false teachings here, there's a lot here. But you come to General Santos, there's a Mormons, Jehovah's Sickness. Yes, Jehovah's Sickness. Amen. Iglesia No Cristo. It's a cult. Islam. I mean, there's the heart of it. Catholics. But you know what? I think Catholics are some of the easiest people to lead to Christ. Don't argue with them. Don't change their beliefs. Change their heart. And when your heart's changed, your beliefs will change. And when your heart's changed because of salvation, your life will change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Old beliefs. I believe when people get saved and they still have the same beliefs, I don't think they're salvation. Because my Bible says, if any man. So, the thing is this lady, he told her about salvation. And then she gets saved. He said, how you know? Well, she went into the city, started witnessing, telling others about Christ. Let me give you a couple things real quick. First thing I want you to see. Now think about this lady a minute. She came to that well that day. Was she thinking about her eternal soul? No. She was thinking about getting water. I want you to see the first thing real quick. People will not be concerned about their soul until we get concerned about their soul. Here's Mr. Holly. Let's say if he's lost. He needs somebody to talk to him about his eternal soul. And he may not respond tonight. But if somebody will be concerned about his soul, later he'll get concerned about his soul. How many of you had a Christian concerned about you before you were ever concerned about your eternal soul? Every one of us. So let's don't curse the darkness. Let's light a light. Let's light a candle. Why? I'll tell you why. Because people will not be concerned about their soul until somebody else is. Those you work with? Your neighbors? You know the neighbors are the hardest people to witness to, amen? But it's good. You know the best time? Let's say, here's Mr. Holly. Let's say if he's my neighbor. The best time to witness to somebody, this will help you. The very first time to witness to somebody is when you first meet them. Didn't mean you have to win them to the Lord the first day, but you ought to give them a track. You ought to just invite them to church and let them know. By the way, if you wait a couple weeks or a couple months, it's hard to do it. The best time, by the way, it's easier to witness to a stranger than it is somebody you know. There's people at work you like to witness to, but you've known them so long. The best people to witness to is who? Strangers. Strangers. So don't listen to the lie that after you get to know them and to build this relationship, and I believe you ought to build a relationship. And most people get saved because of relationships. I believe that. But I'm telling you this, if you're waiting to build a relationship before you talk to them about the Lord, it's hard to talk to them after you build a relationship. Amen? So I believe the very best time to witness to people is when you first meet them. When you first meet them. So remember this, people will not be concerned about their soul. You remember somebody gave you a tract? You remember somebody invited you to church? You remember somebody witnessed to you? I'll tell you why you got concerned. Because somebody got concerned about your soul. That woman wasn't concerned about her soul. She was worried about the water and her sinful life. She had a sinful life. She had five husbands. She had had five husbands. And the one she was with now, she was not her husband. We need to be concerned about lost people. That is why we're giving out the gospel in General Santos. You saw our good news classes. Me and my wife and my four children, when we first went there, we started three good news classes. And we probably maybe had 60 kids. Now we teach about 110. We don't, okay? No. Our church teaches about 110 classes. We'll put them under a tree. We'll put a mat out. And we'll invite the kids. They have Bible stories, song, Bible verses, sometimes games. Last about 45 minutes, and then they'll go to another one. We teach over 3,000 kids every Saturday. Why? I'll tell you why. They will not be concerned about their soul until somebody else is concerned about their soul. That's why we want to give out the gospel. The gospel is still powerful. We don't need to change the Bible. We don't need to change our message. We don't need to change our music. We don't need to change what we believe. People think you got to believe. Listen, when you leave God out, you're going to change a lot of things. If you do things God's way, God will bless it. And it seems like God, don't worry, just do it God's way. Just wait on the Lord. We don't have to change. We don't have to become liberal. We don't have to change our beliefs. I got saved 37 years ago. I believed the same thing I believed when I first got saved. I wrote down in my Bible, when I was in Bible college, the things I believe. And every once in a while, boy, I got to get back to that. Man, I used to believe that. By the way, if it was right to believe before, it's still right to believe today. Amen? Let everybody else change. I tell people, listen, everybody talks about separation, 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 separation. I think we need to get back to a word called godliness, holiness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, when you talk about separation, everybody's got their own ideas. But when you talk about holiness and righteousness and godliness, it makes you more like God. Amen? Amen. Oh, listen to me tonight. That's why we have public school. You saw our public schools. We could be in every public school if we had enough people. There's no way. We teach some of them every week, some of them every other week. Some schools, they've turned the whole school over to us. The whole school. And we teach over 5,000 students in the public schools. You know why? Because they will never be concerned about their eternal soul until we are. That's why we have the prison ministry. One good thing about a prison ministry, you have a captive audience. Amen? I guess about two years ago? They wanted to play us. They wanted to play our church. And David went there and played. And I thought, oh, no, they won't like, boy, I mean, it's not good. Maybe they'll kidnap David. You can kidnap him. Just don't go kidnap the pastor. Amen? And so he went there and played. But they were cheering the American on. They called him the import. I mean, he was the import. I mean, they loved him. They were cheering for him. I thought they'd be cheering for their prison mates, but there wasn't. And I said, fellas, I don't know if we ought to win or not. I always want to win, but I don't know if we want to win here or not. And so it ended up in a tie, amen? So I said, we don't need to go overtime. That's better, amen? but you know, we have a prison ministry. And we go every other week to prison. We've got two different prison ministries reaching those people. Why? Because if nobody cares about their soul, they won't. That's why we have a police ministry. You saw our police ministry. There's 8 different police stations in our city. We do Bible studies in each of those police stations. Once a year, we have a called police night on a Friday night. We feed them. We invite them. Anybody have ever seen the movie Courageous? Anybody have seen the movie? We showed them that. Boy, they were just crying. And then one of the police officers that were saved, actually their leader, he's a general in our region. He gave his testimony and how God had saved him and changed his life and what God was doing through his life. And I'm telling you, we had about 200 policemen saved that night. I mean, when I gave the invitation, I only spoke about 10 minutes. But because of our Bible studies and because of the Word of God and everything over the months, about 200 people raised their hand within about 5 seconds. Now, when you get policemen to raise their hand, we took them out. We'd like to try to deal with people one-on-one. But that night, we had to do 2 or 3 people. Each person had to deal with about 3 different people. And we want to reach that city for Christ. You know why? You know why? The police officer will not be concerned until we are concerned. And we're trying to start churches. We're trying to start churches. You saw our deaf ministry. We saw our deaf ministry. We run to about 35 in our deaf. My wife's in the Philippines right now. I'm just only here for about a month. I'm going back, okay? But she helps in our deaf ministry. We have about 35 in our deaf ministry. It's amazing what God's doing in our deaf ministry. We have a Bible Institute, and eventually we want to start a Bible college. We have about 40 from our church. It's in our Bible Institute. We haven't opened it up to other people. We have a TV ministry. Now get this. We do a TV ministry 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night. 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night. 7 days a week on cable TV. It cost us about $170 per month. 30 hours of TV. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Why? Because we want to get the gospel to, and a guy came to me a month ago and he said, Pastor, would you like to be on local TV? And I said, I don't know. He came back again, you'd like to be on local TV. And I said, what would it cost? He said, well, 30 minutes. One good thing about local TV, everybody has, they can watch it. The cable, but not many people have it. So in about five or six towns around us, it covers maybe between 2 and 3 million people. And we just started a month ago. We're on TV every Sunday morning for 30 minutes. And we're just talking about salvation. It costs us about $60 for 30 minutes. That's more expensive, but guess what? Probably 98% of the people don't have cable TV. You say, why are you doing all that? Because they will never be concerned about their soul until somebody else is concerned about our soul. You say, but Pastor, that's expensive. We run jeepneys. You say, this jeep, that's okay. It's God's business. God will take care of his business. I believe if we do everything we can, no matter what it costs, to get out the gospel, God will supply for that. I believe that. Amen? We're not a business. We're not trying to save money. We're investing in eternity. And we're starting churches also. We're starting churches. We've only started about five right now. And what we do, our church finances those. Not me. It's from the Filipinos through their missions. And God is blessed. Our church is our missions church. The building is a result of giving to missions. We didn't take up one offering. A church that is mission-minded, God will bless that church. He'll bless that church. I can't explain it. It's when you get a concern about the world, let me tell you this. Is there somebody you need to be concerned about? A neighbor? Somebody you work with? You say, they won't listen. Sometime they're waiting for you. How you know they won't listen? Until you talk to them, amen? I talked to a guy the other day. He's in Ridgecrest, California. Have you ever known where Ridgecrest? This guy was a agnostic. I talked to him. I said, sir, you believe in evolution? Yes. I said, were you convinced evolution was right? Yes. I said, you believe that? Yes. I said, sir, let me ask you a question. I said, can I ask you a question? And he said, yes. I said, what changed your mind? He said, my wife was a Christian, and my mother-in-law was and father-in-law was a Christian. And they began to leave pamphlets and books and tracts around, and I began to read those. And then I got saved. Amen? You know why? Somebody cared about his soul. You say, oh, Pastor Everett, they don't care. You know why? Because the church, we don't care. Number two, and I'll, real quick. The new converts have a burden. Look in your Bibles at verse 29. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this to Christ? New converts have a burden. New converts have a burden. We try to create a burden in our... If I lead somebody to the Lord, if I lead a man to the Lord over here, and I talk to him, I give him assurance, I try to get him in church, but the first thing I do, I say, sir, you have a mom and dad? Yes. You have brothers and sisters? Yes. You have relatives? Yes. I said, who's going to reach them? I don't know. I said, you are. You're saved now. It's time for you to get a burden. Why should I reach their mom and dad? Why should I have more concern for their mom and dad? They should. So when I get saved, the moment they get saved, I say, sir, is your mom and dad going to heaven? I don't know. Are they saved? No, they're not going to heaven. You ought to spend the rest of your life, sir, reaching your mom and dad and brothers and sisters. Amen? Listen, when people get saved, we take them soul winning with us. We take them soul winning. There's men in my church. I do this. I'll say, Mr. Holly, will you go soul winning with me this week? Well, no, I can't go. Okay, how about next week? You know what? I'll ask a lot of my men. You know why? They won't say no to the pastor. Amen? And if they're new converts, they have a lot of wicked friends that need to be saved. So I take my men sowing with me. And once they learn, now I'll take somebody else with me, and somebody else with me, and somebody else with me. You know what? A new convert has a burden. A new convert. And we ought to create that burden in their heart. Why? By taking them. Taking them. This woman had a burden. Look what she said. Come see a man which told me everything ever I did. Is not this the Christ? There's a man in our church. He got saved. I went to his house. I went to his house 2 years ago. I led him to the Lord. I didn't lead him to the Lord, but I sat down with him and his wife. I sat down with him and his wife. I went through the plan of salvation. I went through the plan of salvation. I explained salvation to him and his wife. And I said, why don't you come to church tomorrow? His wife came to church. She got saved. He went back home and he said, how long was the service? She lied. You shouldn't lie, but she lied, okay? I guess she enjoyed it so much she thought it was short, okay? And she said 1 hour. Well, our service is about 3 hours, okay? What time is your service starting on Sunday morning? What time? 9:30? 10:30? We start at 8:30. That'll be a good time to start changing here, amen? Okay? We do it at 8:30. And so 8:30, we finish by about 11:30. We call the Sunday school and everything. And she came and got saved. Her husband, Ed, came the next Sunday. He got saved. They've been in our church ever for the last 2 years. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Ed takes me soul winning with him. He goes soul winning with me. And then he does a lot of talking. I let him do all the talking. He's probably brought 75 to 80 adults to my church. Amen? Amen? He needs to get busy. He needs to. If you're saved, we should get busy bringing people to the Lord. I will tell you this real quick. There was a lady in our church. I don't think she's ever led anybody to the Lord. I don't know if she's ever dealt with anybody. But she teaches in a Catholic university called Holy Trinity. And she teaches psychology. And so she brings college students to our church. How does she do that? I don't know. She tells them, you have to be there. If you're not there, it's going to hurt your grade. They come. I mean, they love to come to our church, okay? And she has them observe our death for about 20 minutes. Then we take them in another room. We have two or three people give short testimonies. We just go through the plan of salvation, and just all of salvation, doing Sunday school, doing the church. We have people take them out, and we deal with them one-on-one. A month ago, she brought 100 college students to our church. Probably in 8 years, she's probably brought 4,000 college students. She, as far as I know, she's never won anybody the Lord. I don't think she's ever dealt with anybody. But you know what? She's reaching people when some soul winners never reach people. I don't care how you reach people. Just reach them for the Lord. Amen? If you invite them to church and they get saved during the service, boy, you on cloud nine for a long, long time. Amen? It doesn't matter who leads them to Christ. I don't lead a lot of people to Christ. I don't. I sow a lot of seed. I sow a lot of seed. And I let somebody else pick the fruit. Oh, listen to me. New converts have a burden. She had a burden. She had a burden. We teach our people, we teach them to begin to tithe. If you're saved, you ought to tithe. We teach them to give the missions. I tell our people, I'm not afraid to tell our people to give. Some of our people make $5 a day. Some of them make $10 a day. Some of them may make $20 a day. How many would like to make $20 a day? Nobody has hands up, okay? But you know what? I teach them to tithe and give to missions. Why? Because God says to tithe. I tell them, I'm not afraid to tell our people to give. Why? Because I've given my life. And it's a lot harder to give your life than to give you money. Amen? So I'm not ashamed to tell them to give. But I tell our people, I'd rather for you to give out the gospel than to give your money. I'd rather for you to give out the gospel then give your money. Oh, new converts, new converts. They'll witness. Amen? First thing is what? For people to get concerned about their soul, we must be concerned about their soul. Number two, new converts have a burden. And the last thing, and I'm finished. Look at chapter 4, verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. If you don't keep your eyes on the field, you'll get your eyes on another member. When you don't get your eyes on the field, you'll get your eyes on another Christian. And you'll get discouraged, and you'll start being critical of those people. Amen? When you start getting being critical of somebody else, it tells me you're not looking at the right place. If we get our eyes on the lost, we won't be discouraged by other believers. Because other believers will discourage you. And you'll discourage other believers also. And so, he said, look on the fields for the white already the harvest. Let me ask you this. This command was not given to the woman. She was already doing that. This command was given to the disciples, those that were close to him, those that had dedicated their life to him, those that had forsaken all, those that knew the Bible. They knew, they had knowledge. He gave the command to the disciples. You say, what do you mean? You and I that's been saved a long time, we'll lose our burden. We'll lose our desire. But you'll never lose God's command. You know what keeps you going? Not your burden, not your desire, but His command. His command is what keeps us going. He said, look on the fields. Look on the fields. You know why we don't look on the fields? We're looking at our problems. How many got problems here tonight? Everybody does. You know why we don't look on the fields? We're looking at our problems. You know why we don't look on the fields? We're looking at our wants. We want this, we want this, we want that. You know why? You know why we don't look on the fields? We're looking at the world. Many of us want to be like the world. We don't need the world. We don't need the world telling us what to do. We don't need to follow the example of the world. We need to follow the Word. Amen? And if you're not following the Word, you're going to follow the world. That Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The world is full of sin. Why do people don't look on the fields? They're looking at their problems. They're looking at their wants. And they're looking at the world. You may lose your burden, but you never lose your command. We have a command. And I'm almost finished. There was a man in our church by the name of Monty Hewitt. Monty Hewitt, he had cancer of the jaw. The doctor said, and he had cancer in his liver. He had cancer all over his body. The doctor said, Monty, you have 3 months to live, maybe 6. Monty lived 4 years. A man that had the greatest faith I've ever seen. Greatest faith I've ever seen. He told our people, he said, if you don't want to give to our land fund, then I'll just say, God, you let me help with the land fund, and I'll get all the blessings. Amen? But Monty was an amazing guy. Amazing guy. Very demanding, but he loved me. When he had something, he said, Pastor, can I talk to you? And I'd sit down. It should have taken us 5 minutes. It took us about an hour and 5 minutes. He just detailed and detailed, detailed. And I said, well, Monty, will you pray about it? But he wanted to know what pastor thought. What pastor's thought. I said, I don't know. If you have the peace of God and you feel like you and your wife, you agree on it, and you just go forward. I said, I can't tell you. I don't know God's will. So I gave him a couple pointers. And I talked to him a little bit. Monty had cancer. I knew he was going to die. I thought he was going to die the first year. I thought he was going to die the first 2 years. He went to the hospital probably 20 times. Every time I knew he would never come out, but he would. I think of before I took David back to Bible college. One August, he texted me one morning. He said, "Pastor, you have a soul winning partner?" I said, "No." He said, "Can I go with you?" His arms are about that big around. He was skin and bones. I don't think he probably weighed 70 or 75 pounds. He's about 5'8", skin and bones. He said, "Can I go soul winning with you?" He said, Pastor, I can't get out of the car, but I would drive you." I had my own personal driver that day, amen? He said, "Pastor, I can't get out of the car, but I want to go sowing with you." Because he was on crutches, and he couldn't get out. We pulled up to a house. I'd met them the night before, because her son began to come to our youth activity. Rex and Endi Buena Vista. Monty sat out in the car. And I went in there and I led Rex and Endi Buena Vista to the Lord. They came to church. About a month later, they followed the Lord in baptism. They went through our discipleship. They've been in our church ever since. But you know what? Monty knew soul winning was important, because Jesus said, "Look on the field." Did you know you have a mission field right where you live? You don't have to go to the Philippines. Right where you are, people need Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Every head bowed.